I guess, for today, unless something else happens. Tomorrow, we're going to have the Secretary of State, who I believe his name is Susan Bicevich. We get a lot of calls to the show about the is there any relationship between Betty Bicevich, who hosts our 10 o'clock show, and Susan Bicevich, who's our Secretary of State. And I'm just going to take it upon myself. There's been some reluctance to talk about this at the station. My understanding is that they're separated, but that we're all rooting for them to get back together. I mean, we all both feel that, you know, there's a lot to work with there, you know, a lot of personal relationships. So that's, you know, don't bring it up with him on his show. It's a sensitive thing. But anyway, if you're wondering, what is the relationship between Betty Bicevich and Susan Bicevich? That's my understanding of what it is. Mm-hmm. Or something, it's something like that. Okay. Maybe not exactly.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, she's going to be on the show tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Is there a reason as to why she would be on the show?
We book her first, and then we think about what the reason is.
Is there a particular topic that she wanted to discuss? Was there something on her mind?
I bet you there
of a specific nature, or is it just to come on and be a,
I didn't inquire.
Her lovely self.
Yeah. No, I'm sure we'll be talking about the election and stuff like that, and voting machines, and whether any of this stuff works. I think we're going to descend into chaos, to tell you the truth. I mean, not just Connecticut. I think all these new voting systems are going to be difficult, and the new registration is going to be things complicated. And I predict the breakdown of civilization on an election day. So you should get lots of water and flashlights that run on your own urine, and prepare for the worst.
Right.
You know what I'm afraid of? You know what I'm really afraid of? What I encourage everybody else to
do? No, I don't.
Super weeds.
Super weeds?
Super weeds. I'm afraid of super weeds.
What do you mean, super weeds?
Well, it's funny you should ask me that.
I know.
Well,
almost as if you were waiting for that.
There's a new study.
Yeah.
And it shows that genes from genetically engineered grass can spread much farther than previously known. And so here's the problem. Two companies, Monsanto and Trump, no, not actually, it wasn't Trump, Monsanto and Scotts, have developed a strain of creeping fence grass. Which is used on golf courses because, of course, they have to have some freaking genetically engineered bent grass because they can't have regular grass on their golf. I mean, come on. Anyway, so we have the creeping bent grass, but it's a genetically engineered strain. What is it genetically engineered to do? This is the part where really you start wishing Rachel Carson was still alive. It's resistant to the widely used herbicide Roundup. So think about your golf course. What they want is a kind of grass that they can douse with herbicide, but it won't die, okay? Fine. So it's something like, it's they're already using an herbicide that, think about this, kills most kinds of grass, but not this kind of grass. Okay, fine. The altered plants would allow these new plants, the groundskeepers can spray the herbicide on the greens and fairways to kill the weeds. The grass stays there, but the company's plans have been opposed by some environmental groups, as well as by the Federal Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management. Now, keep in mind that under the Bush administration, these agencies have basically become indistinguishable from polluters. So for them to oppose anything means that either some low-level bureaucrat has gotten hold of it, you know, and Gail Norton hasn't found out yet, or these things are pretty bad. Critics worry that the grass would spread to areas where it is not wanted, like, for example, the bathtub. Where it's not wanted, or transfer.
Where would there be? I don't understand. Where would there be areas where this lovely grass would not be wanted?
Well, I personally don't want mutant bent grass showing up. You know, I don't currently own any property where it could be an issue. But I mean, you just don't want it creeping into other habitats, the natural habitats. Where? How about meadows? How about beautiful meadows full of wildflowers?
Yeah.
Only this mutant creeping bent grass goes in there and starts.
Yeah, but is there anything
wrangling the little daisies and sunflowers?
Can you think of anything that's more beautiful than a golf course?
No.
Think of how pristine and beautiful rolling hills, fairways.
Every fairway.
Exactly. So why would there be a problem?
Lord, every green
bent grass taking over a meadow. For
drink
example.
Until you puke. At the 19th hole. All right. Well, anyways, that's the first problem. Grass goes where it's not wanted.
More problems?
So there's more. Oh, yeah. We're just getting started. Because we haven't come to the super weeds yet. But now we're about to. Okay. Grass spreads where it's not wanted. That's the first problem. Or it could transfer its herbicide resistance to weedy relatives, creating, and this is the language of the New York Times.
Weedy relatives.
Yeah. Creating super weeds that would be immune to the most widely used weed killer. So
how would grass?
Yeah.
Never mind. I don't even know why.
Do I have to spell it out for you? You know what plants do? Do you know how disgusting plants are when they start getting busy with one another? When they start putting their little pistils and stamens all over one another?
It's a cross-pollination from this big grass.
They start
to some, like, low-life weed. And the next thing you know, you got these big, giant, muscular weeds that nobody can take care of. Nobody can take them out.
Come into your room at night when you're going to sleep.
Right.
Slither along on the floor. You'll be able to, you might even hear them tonight if you're trying to fall asleep. That's kind of a super weed.
You know, one of these days, there's going to be an irate parent standing at the door out there at about 5 after 6 when you leave, and it's not going to be pretty.
Right. So, super weeds that will be resistant to weed killers. Wait a minute. We maybe should pitch a new screenplay here. Super weed is a pretty good name for a movie, actually.
I would think it'd be great.
Okay. So, let me just think about this for a second. National Park Service, Forest Rangers, something like that. One of them is Steven Seagal, a former Navy SEAL, but nobody knows that. Everybody thinks he's
no, it's
not Forest Ranger. That's too good.
I think he's a cook.
Yeah, no, I...
No, they've already used that.
And it's got to be, this may be just sort of a landscaping crew.
Oh, okay. Just a regular landscaping crew, not National Forest Service?
No, not the National Forest Service. Just a landscaping crew. And Steve, and one of the guys in the landscaping crew is Steven Seagal. He's a former Navy SEAL. The other guys in the crew don't know that.
Right.
Because he got out of the Navy SEALs because he accidentally killed a real SEAL, and he started
a baby SEAL.
A baby SEAL,
yeah.
Exactly. And it's haunted him ever since.
And what happened during the movie?
Because
somebody's going to be taking over something, and then he jumps in to stop it.
Those rich bastards at the golf club start spraying. They start to get the mutant, genetically recombinant Trump manufactured creeping bedgrass.
Right.
And it...
I don't think Trump is in a manufacturing grass.
So right down the road, we can find out.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Donald Trump, by the way. We're talking about Trump with an F. Trump with an F. Trump. So right down the road from us, and believe me, they are behind most of the sinister things that go on in this world. Okay. So they get the creeping bedgrass for the golf course, the golf courses.
Right.
By the way, the president of Trump in this movie is played by John Malkovich. I've never seen
the president of Trump, so I wouldn't know if that's a good casting job or not.
And so then, and this is one of the things, we may have to go for an R rating on this, because I think there's going to be like a big sex scene involving the creeping bentgrass and
some Steven Seagal?
No, some weeds. I think Steven Seagal ever has sex in his movies, does he?
I don't think so.
I'm not aware of one. I think he reproduces mitotically anyway. So I don't think there actually is there are any like hot Steven Seagal scenes. So Ben Crow starts fooling around with weeds, and pretty soon you get a super weed.
But what does the super weed do? You got to have Steven Seagal is going to stop the super weed from doing...
First thing he does is it kills the Dalmatian.
Okay, it kills the Dalmatian.
I'm just spitballing this thing out here. I didn't really think about it too carefully. I didn't even know I was
going
to be talking screenplay today.
Yeah. Kills a Dalmatian?
Yeah, that's in the first 20 minutes. I don't know. We'll work on this a little bit more.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got calls coming in here about other things. 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC. Star WTIC. If you ever need a member of a golf club, go there and say you don't want the genetically altered creeping bent grass that's resistant to herbicides. Oh, you know, here's the other thing that I love about this.
The golfers don't care. Why would you, if it looks good and they can play the ball off it, what do they care what it is?
And then what they say is, Scott, by the way,
oh no.
Cat's Hardware, I think, is not involved. They've refused to have anything to do with this whole thing. And that's how upright they are.
With the new genetically engineered grass.
Stuff like that, yeah. So, the scientists with the EPA, they completely compromised federal agencies. That's what it says outside on the buildings of the EPA. They completely compromised federal agencies. They found that the genetically engineered bent grass pollinated test plants of the same species. And those things, the weird grass pollinated other plants as far away as they measured, which was 13 miles downwind. But here's what it was. Scott says not to worry. Don't worry. But you know, in the movies, they always say that. They always say,
don't worry.
Oh, don't worry about the alligator that's been eating radioactive sewage. That's what they always say.
The one that's
sea hugging alarm is talking about the alligator that's been eating radioactive. It's not really radioactive sewage anyway. It's just sewage that grows naturally. And then the alligator is said to be able to fly, and then fire comes out of its snout. Okay, well, they say any Roundup is the herbicide, remember? Any Roundup-resistant strains that might somehow develop outside of intentionally planted areas could be treated with other weed killers. Oh, what a relief. They have other poison things they can pour onto the earth. I can relax now. They have other toxins they haven't even begun to deploy, as it turns out.
All right, here's Debbie in a car. Debbie?
Ken.
Yes.
Are you stoned on grass or something? You're just on and on about grass today. I mean, which is a cool topic, I guess. But yeah. Are you stoned?
Not at the moment, no. Why? Are you holding?
It just sounds like telling me.
Well, don't you think this is a significantly... I mean, this is... Thanks for calling. Neil has questions for Susan Bicevich?
Bicevich,
I'm sorry. Yeah. All right, let's find out what his question is.
All right, Neil?
Yes, I do. I have a suggestion for you.
All right.
When you have her on your interview tomorrow, ask her if she's developed any contingency plans for when things are really, really close in the next election in November, and it's so questionable because of these new electronic voting machines, and that she declares a national emergency and martial law and attempts to take over the country. What has she got in place for a contingency plan to deal with that?
I happen to know that she has a small paramilitary force that obeys her command slavishly. So I think at that point, she'll be in a position to take Connecticut out of the Union, and we'll become a small nation state. Not unlike, say, Luxembourg.
Well, we've got a plan for it.
Yeah, as long as there's a plan, I think it's important. Yeah.
That's a great plan, too. Not to be messed with, I might add.
Believe me, I mean, once again, that's not that far-fetched either. As we know, Cheney and Ridge were talking about moving the election and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. You have another minute?
Yes, we do.
Okay. You know, one point, Cheney and Ridge were talking about what would happen if they had to move the election. Although, remember Bicewitz, I think she was on the show when she was talking about that, and, I mean, her position was, you don't move the election, not much should cause you to move the election, and as it should be remembered, on September 11th, 2001, we had an election here in Connecticut. No, it was primaries for a municipal election, about as low a form of election life as there can be, but that's all right. The polls stayed open. People voted. And we got, you know, we had a sort of a day of democracy. And I think that's the answer. You know, I really, you know, what that guy's talking about is, what if the election's really close and people are completely freaking out and demonstrating and looting televisions and claiming that Republicans are trying to steal it again and stuff like that. I think that's what he's talking about. At which point, you know, Cheney probably does march in, pin numbers on our houses and lock us up.
Well, I've been telling you how great...
have it. And we do have time to do a
phone. What's that supposed to mean? You don't have it because you don't have it?
Well, I mean, you know, Norah Jones fans are probably sitting there listening and saying, I thought I had all of Norah Jones's.
Well, if you were kind, you would tell them where they could find it.
Well, screw that.
All right.
They want to hear that again, they have to listen to our show.
Okay.
Anyway, we do have time to take your phone calls, 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, star WTIC. Before we do that, I have a frightening story to share with you.
Frightening.
This actually is kind of a frightening story, but in a very kind of that kind of way.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
It's from the Quad City Times. Iowa, I guess. Isn't that where the Quad City
Times
is?
Okay.
Yep. When Eric Dow and his wife, Charisse, drove into their mobile home court in Comanche, or I don't know how you say that name, anyway, in the darkness of early Wednesday morning, he says they were startled and frightened to see what was in the road ahead of them. There were neat rows, as if in painted yellow lines. Hundreds of Ronald McDonald dolls. It was eerie, frightening, says Dow, who is a corrections officer for the Clinton County Sheriff's Office, why all those 14-inch stuffed dolls with ceramic faces had been so carefully placed in the middle of a half dozen roads in Cedar Heights is a mystery from the Twilight Zone. Dow, who's also a volunteer reserve officer, never mind about that. He estimates there were 500 of those Ronald McDonald dolls in perfect formation,
spaced out 2 or 3 feet apart in the center of 6 roads in the court that houses about 150 mobile homes.
Yeah.
It was like we were seeing things not to be believed, he says.
Burger circles.
Yes, it is like that. It's sort of like clown circles.
Yeah, clown circles.
You know, we had an employee here, Melissa Spalding. Did this ever happen to her? If she ever, like, drove in somewhere and there were 500... I mean, I left one clown doll at her desk one night.
Which was really low. That was low, cold,
I didn't realize, I knew
vicious.
She was afraid of clowns. I didn't realize how afraid of clowns she was. And after that, I
did. We have no idea where this poor woman is today. She ultimately had to leave.
She did leave eventually.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have left the clown on her desk if I'd known how afraid she was of clowns.
Right.
And it wasn't even really a bad, scary clown. I mean, as clowns go, it was a very benign one.
Mm.
Whoa. I mean, if this ever happened to her, I don't even know what would happen. I mean, basically, we'd be visiting her in Bellevue for the rest of our lives.
What's that called? What's the fear of clowns called? You
well,
know?
Actually, we did track that down. There actually
there
is a name for it.
There is a name for it.
But we did track that down. I'll try to find that out again. So anyway, I don't know whether it's an infestation or...
Or somebody set them up in the road as a joke.
It could be, yeah. 500 runaways.
How else would they get there?
Glowing eyes and your headlights. You know,
Why Ronald McDonald Clown? Was there a promotion going on in the area or something?
I can't talk about it anymore. That's
well, I guess it won't be too much difficult to figure out which call we're going to hear. Here is Mike in a car. Mike?
Hi, Mike.
Hi,
guys.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Well, let me start by saying that I'm neither really a Democrat or a Republican, and I'm sort of neutral, and I can't help but be kind of...
We got to get this guest on. There's no way that I can... I can't live... I mean, the guest I'm talking about?
Oh, that guy. I thought you meant this call. Okay,
no,
I'm sorry.
No,
the guest, yes, I know the guest. And I'm going to, see, now here's an example of Bruce getting himself in a lot of trouble.
You gave me this thing.
Because I saw this today as I was going through a pile of stuff, and I said, I set it aside. I had one pile over here, and I set this aside, and I said, I'm just going to slip this over during the show and just see what happens.
This is a guy
knowing what would happen.
Who wants to come on our show and talk about an all-natural product called Colon Blow. Already, I've got to do this.
See?
Yeah. And what it is, basically...
Yes, we know what it is.
Well, they don't know what it is.
I think we can figure out what it is.
I don't know what it is exactly, but his feeling basically is there's stuff sitting in there too long, and you got to...
I can hear Salhaney's little footprints, little footsteps already.
You just got to blow it loose sometimes. Sometimes you just got to, you know, hit the plunger and, you know, get the TNT. I mean, that's basically the message I'm getting from this, is that...
Or you're going to get another message in a few minutes.
He's quoted in the press release as saying, don't just poop, poop better. Which is, in many respects, the philosophy of this show. But I feel as though we have to have him on.
Fine.
Because you know
get
what? Every single one of our listeners poops. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's
there's,
one thing.
There's a lot of things we could talk about.
One of the few things we have in common.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of things we can
talk
about.
Look at Sherwood. He slumped over the board in there. He can't believe he's hearing that.
They would have some topics.
Neither can I.
Some topics and some guests would have sort of a niche audience. Remember the time we had the squatting toilet guy?
Yes, we certainly did.
People loved that.
Yeah, they loved it.
This guy who was selling this toilet that you squat on instead of sitting on.
People loved it.
It's more natural. It's the way God intended.
They loved it.
Yeah. They did love it.
I know they loved it.
Yeah. And so now we're going to have the Colon Blow guy on. Colon Blow. I love it. Now that I'm looking at the website, I can't really figure out whether Colon Blow is a real product or something funny. I think it might be funny.
Oh, it's funny, all right.
I kind of wanted it to be a real product. I'm not sure that it is. They certainly leave room for doubt each way.
Yep.
Anyway, we do have people calling in here.
What does CBS say about that?
CBS,
is it real or...
CBS feels that some of these samples of Colon Blow-related output may be forged. Well, you do have pictures here. They have pictures on the website of Colon Blow output, as it were. They have photos. But, I mean, I can't believe that they would do that.
You know, I really kind of wonder where we're going to be working.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks.
Even like the questions in the press release and stuff like that, one of the questions is, does your output match your input?
Right.
It should. But that's ridiculous because the whole point of eating is that some of it stays with you, right?
Right. Energy.
Yeah, energy, and that means you hold some things are absorbed into your food system. So it's not like, you know, you should be...
Perpetuation of the cells.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Right.
You might as well just take the food and throw it in the toilet, if that's what's supposed to happen. Why bother eating it?
You know, you give these things such a level of charm and sophistication.
Well, I have sort of a certain way with
things. Yes, you certainly do. That's exactly what I was trying to say. You have a way with things, especially things like that.
Anyway, our numbers are 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, or star-WTIC. I guess we won't have that guy on as a guest.
Oh, probably not. Nancy on a cell phone. Nancy?
My main question is, was Donovan McNabb really this good before Rush Limbaugh started saying he was bad, or is Rush Limbaugh just the greatest motivational coach ever? It's time for Sport That Quad, a very French sports discussion segment. I think Mr. Ambrosio, myself.
Yes, he's always been this good, but he actually has a better team now. Mr. Zip.
Yeah. All right, we have asked Mr.
Thank
Ambrosio.
Thank God, because people, you know, I was at an event last night, and people were asking me about what's wrong. We haven't heard enough from Mr. Ambrosio lately.
This question has to do with kangaroos, who, as you know, keep their young in their pouches. And the question is, since little baby kangaroos don't wear diapers, how do kangaroos keep their pouches clean?
Young kangaroos do not have the same problems that young babies or young other mammals or animals have, because young kangaroos do not have any bile or waste to emit. Young kangaroos get rid of their digestion through the oral cavity, not the other one. They tend to, whatever they eat, they're fed, their mother makes sure that Joey, actually, as the little kangaroo is known, gets fed properly, mainly a mix of nuts and dead animals, and then through a series of digestive belches, the joeys tend to emit any waste that's in its system. So the pouch never gets dirty.
Mm. Amazing. So when they grow up, they start...
When they grow up, things happen. We look at, you know, older people.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Locutus Love Theme. Joining us now from the planet Chulak, it's Locutus. Hello.
Yeah, Colin. Oh, isn't it interesting, Colin, to see how the Kerry campaign is just sinking into the filth, the slime, the garbage.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Well, this call to Joe Lockhart by this little CBS News correspondent.
Well, that's like CBS sort of saying, hey, we got somebody here, they want to talk to you. I mean,
and they were asking the Lockhart how to get in touch with this nut job, Birkin.
But he says, Lockhart says he talks to this nut job. By the way, let's be a little careful about who we're calling nut jobs here. But anyway.
This bitter, angry, disgruntled guy who's been, you know, who's had this raging little... whatever he's
thank God
him.
There's nobody like Bush, that in my life
about Bush for 20 years or whatever the hell the heck it is.
The Lockhart says he talked to this guy and the guy made some suggestions about the campaign and stuff like that, and it sounds not unlike the kinds of exchanges I have with you sometimes.
Colin, it's interesting. I heard on the program, you know, this whole, this is just Dan Rather. Here's Dan Rather trying to go and trying to take down another Republican president.
Yeah, well.
But you know something?
What?
This time around, we might get some payback for Nixon.
Yeah, and how about for George H.W. Bush?
For what that rat scum Rather did to
Nixon. Well, what did Dan Rather do to Nixon? What did he do to Nixon?
He had a rather well-known feud with the police.
Nixon got taken down because he was basically running a criminal enterprise out of the White House. That's why Nixon got taken down. I guess it's Dan Rather.
Dan Rather's got crooked phony documents that are phonier than a...
Well, these are phony. Although he hasn't even admitted that yet, but I would agree that these are phony documents. I think that's...
What happened when they put them on the internet? Every expert on like typewriters.
It's kind of interesting how the first expert who knew that was a Republican operative. So there's some people who think Republicans
leaked those documents knowing that they were phony.
You know, that's an interesting area of study because, you know, from what I understand, there's a guy in New York.
Yeah.
And he owns a... He's like some little Jewish guy on the east side somewhere.
I know that guy's cousin. Anyway, we have to go. It's been fun in sort of a strange, twisted warp way. We'd like to thank our producer, Mr. Bobby Sherwood.
Eastbound 84 traffic remains pretty well tied up from exit.